been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, this time not in my car, but via Skype, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Yeah, man. Mother Nature had some other plans when we're taking the snow day today, my friend.
That is right. Snowy Baltimore. It started around 7 o'clock this morning, but man, it has not stopped. We're recording in the afternoon, but wow, what a sight it is out there today. But hey, here we go. We got a little extra time. We're going to throw in a podcast on our time off, because we don't take any days off. You know, that's not our style. So March 10th is the official start of the brand new football season in the NFL's eyes. And of course, that's the big that's when free agents can do as they please. And the Ravens do have a good amount of free agents that are going out there, unrestricted free agents. So the two biggest names right now we want to talk about, of course, is Justin Forsett and Torrey Smith. We talked about it in the last couple episodes, but Josh, tell me, what is your thoughts on these guys? Look, besides those two, we also have Owen Daniels, who has talked about wanting to come back, and there's a slew of other guys we're going to talk about as well. But those two are really the headliners, the ones that everybody out there wants to know what's going on. What are your thoughts? Do you see Forsett and Torrey Smith coming back? Do you see one of them coming back, one of them going away? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is I think Forsett's coming back. I mean, you know, based on what's going on in Torrey's performance and everything last year, I just don't think that Torrey Smith is going to be – I would say welcome back. That's kind of harsh words because, you know, this is a business, but with that – everything that that transpired last year about his off year and especially the infamous last play of the season where he didn't really go out and play for the ball. I just don't know – I mean, obviously, if you talk to Torrey, I'm not taking anything away from Torrey Brandon. I don't want you to think that or anybody else to think that. Well, Torrey's a bad guy. I know he's a great person. I follow him when on Twitter. He's a great person. I met him countless times. But with that play, it's all about hustle. It's about playing like a Raven, and he didn't show playing like a Raven mentality on that play. It's, you know, the playoffs are on the line, a trip to the title game. We could have beat the Patriots. Go out and play for the ball, man. I mean, yes, he's made some good plays. Yes, in the divisional game in 2012 in the playoffs, he went up and went to go grab those balls from Joe Flacco and scored two touchdowns against Champ Bailey. He did go grab some of the touchdowns against the Patriots in the regular season game the week after he lost his brother. He's made some plays. Not taking anything away from that. Don't get me wrong. But the problem is lately, it's always the what have you done for me lately league. And have you seen that with Jacoby's being released? And it's, okay, you had nice memories, but you weren't getting the job done, so bye. We're going to get somebody else who can do the job. So I think Torrey goes, and I think Forsett stays. And I think that's what happens. And I know with the speculation out there, and we'll also – of course, we'll roll right into the big breaking news this week. With running backs, a lot of speculation was because of how about the big trade with Philadelphia Eagles, LeSean McCoy going to Buffalo, and they traded him straight up for Kiko Alonso, which is one of the he's a great linebacker up there with the caliber C.J. Mosley, who's going to be a force to reckon with for years. So the Eagles did that. Now with the thing about C.J. Spiller, there's a lot of Ravens talk there. There's a lot of Ravens mentioned there that, hey, maybe C.J. Spiller come down to Baltimore. That could be a thing for us to look into. I don't think it'll happen. So I think with that being said, I think Forsett stays with our offense, and I think it's time for Torrey to go. But who knows? Because now with Jacoby's release, maybe we'll re-sign Torrey now. But Jacoby wasn't a receiver per se. He was right. More of the special team specialist, Brandon. So with that being said, I don't foresee Torrey here. I could be wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. I'd like to see 82 stay for a few more years, and hopefully he can prove us wrong. But it's a business, and we'll see what unfolds in the front office.
I think the Ravens want to keep Torrey Smith. I think that they like him here. They like what he does with the community. They like what they've seen on the field. But the big thing is you got to talk about is this is the business side of it. Is the price tag. Tori, if he goes to test out the free market, he's got a certain price tag in mind that he wants. He could probably get that at a team like, you know, like Carolina or Jacksonville, or even like a team like maybe the Jets or something. Like, he could make more money somewhere else. I think the Ravens will make him an offer. I think that it will be around what he's making now, maybe a little bit more. And Tori's got to decide at this point whether or not he wants to stay here or not. I mean, this is his livelihood. This is his business. So, of course, you're going to want to make as much money as you can. If you can kind of take that hometown price tag and stay here, be with a good organization and be treated well and be a fan favorite, then, you know, that goes into it as well. We'll see. But like you were talking about trades and everything, the Chicago Bears are exploring a Brandon Marshall trade. There's a chance he's a wide receiver. There's a chance that they're looking to see what they can get for him. And with our new offensive coordinator coming from Chicago, that could lead to Brandon Marshall kind of getting his foot in the door and possibly replacing a guy like Torrey Smith. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, that's the first time I've actually heard this, Brandon. You know, we're not saying your sources aren't great, but that's a really good point. I mean, even interdivision and them exploring something as far as, you know, I really don't know what's going to happen there, to be honest with you, because we've heard the song and dance, the ups and downs of this, per se. It's, okay, we might release him. There's a big if. And this is on the Bear side. And I know with the speculation of we need a big-time receiver, a lot of people are saying, and then with everything with Jacoby being released, maybe we'll keep Torrey, maybe not. Well, and then with now the cap being raised another $10 million, I think the cap was raised another $10 million, every team's got more money to spend, so the Ravens could be in the running there. Could they sign him? I'm not sure. I know if we talked about this briefly, that there has been some hints with Brandon Marshall in ties with the Ravens. He was talking with John Harbaugh and saying, hey, can I still do the inside the NFL if I play with you all? Technically, it was kind of a shot saying, hey, if I play for you, can I still do what I need to do? And Harbaugh's like, heck yeah, man. So, again, speculation is speculation at this point, being the early March. We'll find out next week when free agency really begins, and we can't wait to see what these signings happen, man. What do you got to say about the deal?
I'd like to see what he brings to the table. Again, it's all about price tag. This guy obviously, though, has a relationship with the new offensive coordinator, and we've seen players come in with new offensive coordinators. That's why let's jump onto this one now. Owen Daniels. He came in because he was a Gary Kubiak guy. He said he still wants to stay with the organization, but with Gary Kubiak gone, is there a chance due to the fact that, you know, he was used to the Kubiak system? Is he going to be able to transfer to a new type of system? Would he be a good fit here without Kubiak? That's my big question for Owen Daniels.
I think with Owen Daniels, it might be a bigger question of, yes, can he fit in this offense without Kubiak? Because Kubiak was more of the tight end, two tight end system. And Dennis Pitta, it really sucks to not see him thrive in that transpired over the past year with his hip. I think that with Trestman, they had Martellus Bennett over there in Chicago. Martellus Bennett was a beast. Mm-hmm. Not to say he wasn't one of the top tight ends in the league. I think he was a top 10, top 15 tight end in the league. He was big, athletic, strong, and they used him in the red zone a lot. With Trestman's offense, I've been doing some research. It's more West Coast. It's more fast-paced, more shotgun, which Joe Flacco's, that's his benefit, to his benefit.
He's a big fan of that.
Oh, he is. He's never said that. So that's why I'm very excited. Now, we already know that Joe's go-to targets are his what? Tight ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joe really, other than the big play receiver one we had with Anquan Boldin in the go-getter, and he went to go get balls, Joe Flacco in the playoffs, his go-to were the tight ends, and his go-tos were Boldin. Torrey did catch it. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you think about the Super Bowl run that we had with Flacco, and the touchdowns that were caught, I mean, Torrey caught two big ones in the divisional game. Jacoby caught the big one in the Super Bowl, but then he also had the return, so it wasn't really an offensive play. But Pitta caught a touchdown. Pitta was involved in some of the first down catches. And if you recall recent memory there too, Boldin had the catch on the third down audible. Boldin had that catch where he looked like he was throwing it out of bounds, and it was like a 40-yard bomb, and he caught it. Right. Boldin caught two touchdowns in the AFC title game in the second half to seal the deal. Boldin caught a touchdown pass in the playoff game at the last game at home with Ray's last dance. So if you think about the prototypes of receivers that we've had and the tight ends to follow, they are our two biggest targets. So I think they would thrive in Trestman's offense. And with their offense, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, they all benefited. They were on I mean, the fantasy versus reality, but when we're talking fantasy football and stats and the offenses, they were kind of a one-man wrecking crew. I mean, you could have had all four players on your fantasy squad, and yeah, you want one AJ in the basket in fantasy, but versus reality is these guys were just doing well. You know, Jay Cutler was spreading the ball around. I know he's got some heat as of late, but Alshon Jeffries came to his own. So I can see a Brandon Marshall coming here, and I still think, let's say if that happens in a perfect world and everything falls into place and Owen Daniel stays, I still think we can get away with a two-tandem system because we got Crockett Gilmore, who, if recall, caught one of the touchdowns in the Steelers playoff game against seal the fate there. So, and then Torrey caught the touchdown there too. So we can kind of just, you know, look back on memory lane saying, okay, well, these guys contributed. Where can they fit in now? I can't wait to see this offense. I mean, we've already set records offensively and offensive mark. I think we are the highest-ranked offense in franchise history, believe it or not. And we can just go up from there. So Kubiak kind of started the foundation. I think we're gonna just going to go up from there and see what happens as far as offense. And I think with Flacco, he was, you know, a few first downs short of 4,000 yards passing for the first time in his career. So and Joe Flacco set some career highs there. I really think that this offense is going to take off. I think Forsett will be a big part of that. And I really think we're going to take it to him. And I think we're going to surprise some people with some key additions that we may have.
I'm very intrigued to see what'll happen. You know, if Owen Daniels doesn't come back, I don't know. I don't think it's a huge loss because Joe is kind of, even though tight ends, you know, that's his favorite target, and Dennis Pitta is a big question mark. He does have guys, you know, like Marlon Brown that he came to really trust a year or two ago. So I'm intrigued to see what actually goes down there. Let's talk about some of these other guys. Already we know Jacoby Jones was released. Chris Canty, he was released. He decided to retire. Terrence Cody was released. That was going to happen anyway, but of course he got himself in some stupid trouble, and the Ravens decided to part ways with him, even though they were going to anyway come March 10th. We've already talked about Pernell McPhee, the fact that he's probably out the door. Now we also have guys, there's a lot of cornerbacks that, of course, they came in when people went down, so they could be a big question mark. We have guys like Danny Goyer, who was a Raven, left and came back. But we have guys like Tyrod Taylor. We have guys like Ja Reed. We have guys like Morgan Cox. Those guys are big question marks. Of those three, I have to assume that Tyrod Taylor will be leaving the Ravens organization because he is a backup and he's very different than Joe. But if you remember last year during the season, they signed like a third string quarterback to the practice squad. And I have to assume that they are kind of grooming that guy to back up Joe. And Tyrod, we've probably seen the last of Tyrod Taylor, and he's probably going to be a backup somewhere else or maybe go to like the Canadian Football League or something. But any of those names you think that will get re-signed? I know Morgan Cox has had a great career with the Ravens. I have to imagine he'd be sticking around.
No, I think with all those names on the list, I think maybe Morgan Cox stays because, you know, not to call it cheaply and call it how it sounds, but the price tag.
Yeah.
I think that it could bode well in the Ravens' favor, especially with the salary cap raised another $10 million. So what I think here, we have a chance to keep him, Morgan Cox, maybe a few other of these players. We need maybe one or two guys on the line. I think we need to reshuffle the offensive line. I think it was great for us there, Brandon, but I don't foresee any big things happening in shakeups because I know Ladarius Webb, will he take a pay cut because he's due money. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other big free agent names out there, I mean, you know, to cover the whole aspect of it. So I really think that Morgan Cox stays. I really like to see him. He's been a great Raven for his tenure here, and I think he stays. That's my personal opinion. I think Morgan Cox stays. I think Harbaugh likes him. I know Harbaugh says some things about him, especially with the injury. He spoke highly of Morgan, so I think Morgan stays with the Ravens.
All right, and let's quickly go over to restricted free agents. These are guys that the way it works, I believe, is that the Ravens have made them an offer to kind of extend their contract a little bit. And if a team wants to talk to this person, they have to match what the Ravens have offered, and then they have to the Ravens have to kind of either match it or sign off. And if they don't match what this other team is offering, then the Ravens would let them go. But we have guys like Will Hill and Justin Tucker. Those two names, I have to assume Justin Tucker is high on a priority list for this team. He might be a kicker, but he's a guy that the Ravens have counted on for a very long time. He's shown that he's worth a good amount of money. He has dug the Ravens out of plenty of holes that they've dug themselves into with not being able to, you know, get into the red zone. And Will Hill, he's a new guy. He just came to the Ravens. He didn't play six games because of a suspension, but the six games that he did play in the regular season last year, I was impressed with. So Justin Tucker, he's a restricted free agent, but I have to assume the Ravens are going to keep him. Will Hill, as long as the price tag stays low, they'll keep him, but I don't see them keeping him if he wants more money.
I like Will Hill, man. Yeah. I've always said that, especially at the start of when he started here late last year. I've always said Will Hill is one of our guys. I think he stays as a Raven. And I think that'll be money well spent in our corner. I know our cornerbacks are very thin with Ladarius Webb. We don't know. He's an unknown, man, because we don't know what kind of money he's going to command. We don't know what kind of money we're going to need to throw at him for an extension, if he's going to take a pay cut. That's an unknown. And then with Jimmy Smith's deal coming up soon, I know that's not this year, but we have a healthy Smith coming back. We also just need to have a good cohesiveness in the secondary. I know that's our weakest spot right now. And depending on what we do in the draft and free agency, we're going to have to see what money we can spend. So I say Will stays with the team along with Morgan Cox, as we covered before. I think another thing out there is floating around is, I don't know if free agency is, how about Andre Johnson? Mm-hmm. I heard that floating around out there a little bit, and it says, hey, yeah, it would have been a good idea if Kubiak was here because the ties to Kubiak. I don't think he goes to Denver because Denver is a franchise of Maris Thomas. And then now, with that being said, there's a Julius Thomas on the free agent line who could hit the free agent mark, and he's a top tight end, probably one of the top tight ends out there. I know his health is a concern, but he's going to command a lot of money. But being that Peyton Manning was his quarterback, who is he really? Is he a one-year wonder? I don't like taking a chance on a free agent like that because we don't know what we're getting. We know what we're getting with a Brandon Marshall. We know what we're getting with a Andre Johnson. Yes, these are journeymen, but they fit the Ravens' footprint, I should say. Andre Johnson's from Miami. Obviously, he's a Hurricane. Ravens love the Hurricanes, of course. And they fit the Ravens' footprint as far as signing these journeyman receivers who put their tenure in somewhere else. They've been an all-pro receiver, and then now they're going to finish their career here, see a Steve Smith, Derek Mason, Anquan Boldin, the kind of, you know, the exception of Anquan, who didn't finish his career here. That's what goes about saying it. It says a lot about the team. So I think that going forward, it's going to be a good mix of who can we resign versus who we can spend, because if they cut Torrey, they don't have to owe him any money. If they tell Ladarius, you know, take a pay cut or buy, or if they tell Haloti, take a pay cut or buy, believe it or not, I'd rather see Haloti stay, depending on if he takes a discount, takes a Suggs deal kind of deal where he says, okay, I'm going to take a lesser money roll, finish my career out as a Raven for life, another great addition to the franchise, another player who's finished from front to end. But to roll right in that, how about, speaking with the theme, how about Jared Johnson signing a one-day contract to retire as a Raven, man?
Yeah, it's good to see Jared Johnson coming back.
All right, 95. His nickname. Remember that, man? I-95? I loved it, man.
I do remember that. Yeah, yeah. But it's good to see him signing a one-day contract. Yes, he left, of course. He went to play for the Chargers for a few years. But I got to meet Jared Johnson once at an autograph signing. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. I was a little sad to see him go, but happy that he's back for one day and he's going to retire a Raven. Maybe we'll see him in the Ring of Honor one day. But, yeah, it's great to see him come back and do that. That's really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for at least Ravens free agency news, about at least potentially who they could sign, who they could let go. But this is the business side of football, and it's a lot of heavy decisions. We got guys that as fans, I want to see come back, but I know that price tag is definitely going to be an issue. So we'll see what happens. Anything else you want to discuss while we're here and can't go outside or anything?
I know, right? It's truly Ice Up Sun, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I was just by loving this, be like, yeah, Ice Up Sun. I just wanted to really just encompass everything and summarize. I mean, I know free agency is in 5 days. Next week's going to get rocking, so I'm sure. I'm really hoping we have some breaking news to break next week on the call. We can't ready to get after it. I really can't wait to see how it is. But speaking of that, on the calls, of course, we always recognize our local sports teams. But how about shout out to Maryland basketball, man, ranked 10th in the nation, and they're doing well in the Big Ten Conference. And I don't know if you got a chance to see this. I know the NCAA tournament's on the horizon. But Brandon, and for our fans out there, did anybody get a chance to see the flash mob that the Maryland crowd did?
I haven't seen it yet. I saw some people post it on Facebook, and
you've got to see it.
Yeah,
like it's legit. Like it had national writers writing about it, to where they were saying that this is our first year in the Big Ten, and they were saying we're putting other Big Ten schools to shame right now. We're tops in basketball as far as environment, believe it or not.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a Big Ten writer speak about the Maryland basketball team, saying how the other Big Ten schools need to shape up their student body because Maryland's student body and the energy and enthusiasm was number one in the conference.
Oh, very nice. I like
that. So, yeah, I was very proud of that, man, because I know the whole move from the ACC and everybody was down about it, but this was a basketball move, purely basketball move, and it has been genius. And, look, man, we're a top 10 team in the nation, ranked in the top 25 for most of the season, and there's speculation that we could be a number 2 or number 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. So I'm very excited about March Madness right now, especially being in Maryland.
Oh, very cool, man. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but I know how big of a deal that is, and I know so many Maryland fans out there. I see it all on Facebook, how excited everybody is. And, yeah, that's a great thing to see the University of Maryland kind of put a big old spotlight and them to being able to perform the way they are. So that's really great.
Absolutely, man. And you know me, I do my brackets every year, and I took off 3 straight days to watch basketball. I couldn't take off the 4th, so I didn't want to lose my vacation time. But. Right. But usually I take all 4 straight days and watch basketball, but comes around once a year. It's a big event. So I at least wanted to touch on that. There isn't really many big events going on, Ravens-wise. I know it's been all quiet. But I wanted to touch on this too because I know Ray Lewis is a big part of it. But have you any of our fans out there have been watching this show called Coaching Bad? It's pretty incredible.
I saw the first episode.
What did you think, man?
It was I felt as if we were kind of getting a sneak peek into what, like, the Ravens locker room used to be like with Ray Lewis there.
Oh, behind the scenes. Yeah. Well, I can kind of – I mean, these guys are really – they have real-life problems.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, yeah, that could have been what the locker room's like, but I really don't think that everybody was pretty much feeling their problems and saying, I'm messed up, I'm crazy, I'm this. It was pretty much like – Ray Lewis is the motivator, and it's really great to see and support Ray Lewis and what he's doing on the show and taking time away, as he always said on the show, from his family to help these people. It's just really great to see, and it warms my heart, and it makes me proud that he's still the face of the franchise, and just honored to have Ray Lewis do something like that. And it just shows you that the kind of person he was and he is, that he still is, that you can put adversity aside, and he can pretty much – he tackled it head on, and especially we've already covered it when we talked about on our show about what I went through.
Yeah.
It's just really great to see that he's reaching out, helping others and coping with that. So, I just wanted to at least touch on that. I know that's another big offseason project. Nothing really too big and exciting going on Ravens Nation. I know fans, it's boring. You're like, oh my God, free agency. But again, this is the meat and potatoes. This is how our dream team is built from the ground up, and this is what we do best. This is why we draft Pro Bowlers and perennial Hall of Famers, Pro Bowlers alike, and we're a contender day in and day out. And I really can't wait to get after it. I really can't wait till the schedule released in April. I can't wait till the draft in 150-something days in the first week in May. But, yeah, free agency is 5 days away, man. So other than that, let's really hope our team pans out the way we wish it could be, the way we want it to be. We might have to say goodbye to some familiar faces, hello to some new faces. And there's always surprises, as we've seen with the Eagles and Bills trade. We'll see what happens. But with that being said, I mean, I think to our listeners out there, but pretty much it's all quiet on the Ravens front, at least for now, until the free agent gets ramped up next week.
Yeah, and we're about 5 days away. I mean, we're recording this on
March 10th.
We're recording this on the 5th. So, I mean, by next Tuesday, March 10th, we'll at least have something to say. Either we're saying goodbye or we're giving guys a hug and welcoming into the Ravens family. So that'll be a pretty interesting show, and I can't wait to hear what you think about once stuff actually starts happening. But
and it gives you a unique perspective, because I talked to some fans this week in the past couple weeks, and what do you think about this guy leaving? Hopefully we sign Tucker, and everybody's flipping out. And I was like, look, this is why. And then I'm going to give you a prime example. This is kind of why it's really tough to get attached to players. This is why you get attached to the team. And when I say that, is because the players coming over, the team always stays. The team colors are always going to be here. Team ain't going anywhere. But we're one of these days, Joe Flacco is going to retire, and we're going to have to get a new quarterback. You know, Joe's going to be a Raven for life, I believe, on my heart, obviously, and Super Bowl winners. So it's good to get attached to these players like a Suggs, like a Ray Lewis, like a John Ogden, Ed Reed, even though he did play for a few seasons at other teams and donned another jersey. Obviously, still Raven for life, Jared Johnson the same way. You always think of these guys as mainstays and your favorites. And I've always said that it's really tough to get attached to players because they can chase the money trail, they can betray, they can get traded, they can, you know, love the city one day and then be playing for your rival the next. And it's a business. It's, hey, who's paying me more to do the same job I'm doing now? And I know, Brandon, if a rival employer of yours or my job calls and said, hey, now we're going to offer you double the money or triple the money to do the exact same job you're doing 40 hours a week now, you would jump in a heartbeat. And don't tell anybody to say otherwise unless you really love your job. Money talks, and especially in this day and age where it's a premium and you got to save and everything else. So, again, these guys at their jobs, their livelihood, and they don't play till they're 60 years old like we would work till 60, 70 years old. They have a short shelf life. Running back, average shelf life is 5 to 7 years max in the NFL. The quarterbacks, maybe 15, 16 years max. And the linemen, 10 years. So it's just these guys, they got to make money now. So if they chase the money, don't be surprised. But it's if we have to say bye to Hiloni, say bye to Webb, it's one of those costs of businesses. But we just got to be grateful that we've had a Ray Lewis, we've had a Terrell Suggs, we've had a Jonathan Ogden. I mean, the first two Ravens, they were 10-year gear. And that says a lot about the franchise, man. How special is that? The first two – we have a unique franchise, man. The first two ever draft picks on his team are Hall of Famers on the offensive side, defensive side of football. They both finished their careers open and shut with the Ravens, no other team. And Suggs is another line of that. So, and they're all Super Bowl winners, and they're all Pro Bowlers. So it's very special about this franchise. So I really can't wait to see what happens, and let's hopefully C.J. Mosley is the next one in line for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see how his career goes. And this is a special organization. It's a good one to be a part of. And I'm
very proud, man. Yeah, it makes me very proud, especially with being in contention every year. And you know, I always argue with fans about that. It's, you know, I mean, I argue with Steelers fans a lot, and it's, oh well, we got this and we got that. I'm like, it's all about rings. But here's the thing. I'd rather be consistently getting in the elite 8 of the NFL. When I say that, it's divisional round or farther, divisional round or title game. Elite 8 of the NFL means you're the final 8 teams of the season, you're in the divisional round. So there's 4 teams in each conference left, and you're one of the 4, and you're playing in January. They're consistently there, man. I mean, 6 out of 7 years, we're part of that. You know, we've been a part of 3 AFC title games. We have a championship. We've been to Super Bowl and won that in the last 5 years. We're consistently there. So if we keep rotating the players out and find the right combination of players, you're always around it. It's almost like being around – it's almost like – I don't know if this analogy makes sense, Brandon, so talk me off the ledge here. But it's almost like playing the lottery, and you're always playing and playing and playing, but your numbers are getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden you find that right combination of the numbers and you win big. Mm-hmm. It's – you're around the jackpot long enough and you keep playing, and that's what the Ravens do, man. They do the blueprint of success, which is the offseason. They draft right, they scout right, or they should – they let me put it in perspective. They scout right in order. They draft right. They train right, play like a Raven mentality. Then they go play right, and then next thing you know, the accolades come to follow. We're in the postseason a lot. We're always in the finals. We're always talked about in the postseason. Oh, the Ravens, I hope they don't get in the playoffs. So that's what it's about, man. I'd rather be consistent franchise and saying, hey, we're in the playoffs every single year. Yeah, we might not win it, but we're consistently winners, and we got postseason play versus, oh, we might not go to playoffs for 20 years, and then we might win a championship once every 20 years. Some might take the once every 20 years, but if you're consistently around that success and you're around playoff football, you're going to get the right team at the right time at the right the game, and who's injured, who's not injured, you're going to get that right combination of players, and we're going to win big. We can win a third title. And that's what I'm very proud of, to see what happens this year, because again, everybody talks about turnover. We thought we were going to go to turnover in 2008. We went to AFC title game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then here's the legend of Joe Flacco, John Harbaugh era born. I mean, it happens. So, and we were thought to be in rebuilding year, and Joe Flacco gets thrust in the starting lineup as a rookie quarterback, and we go 11-5 and go to a title game. Nothing this thing is that right. So That's what I'm excited about. I get excited and passionate about seeing this team built up from the ground up. I literally, really would just love to try to get credentials and to just sit down and pick apart the brain of Eric DeCosta, or sit down and watch these guys scout and watch what these guys talk about, because that's true football. These guys know football IQ. They know the players, what they're looking for. They're looking for speed, tenacity, their character on and off the field. They look for these guys. And sometimes we might say, hey, why are they drafting a linebacker in the first round instead of a receiver? Well, why? Because C.J. Mills is just another Pro Bowler and first-rate rookie to be a Pro Bowler. So nothing to sneeze at there, man. Nothing to just sweep on the rug, because we draft legitimate players year in and year out, and I'm very proud of this franchise. Can't be more proud, bro.
Oh, always. You can just tell by the way that you talk the how proud you are of this team and
well, I'm
franchise.
Standing in it, man. I'm surrounded by Ravens right now. Four walls of just pure joy, and this team brought it on me, man. I mean, I really can't wait to do it. I mean, it's what it's about. It's about what we do, why we do the shows. It's, and like Ray always said, it wasn't for art, none of this would be possible. And like I said, we're going to cover it, obviously, and setting the stage for our future podcast this summer, as we gear up for another Ravens season. But it's just like they said, you know, you don't really appreciate something that's gone, but it's like, I can't imagine life without the Ravens since 96, man. It's a joy to get talk about. It's a joy to wait all season. Yeah, we're sick of the snow. We're sick of the ice, but you know, summer might come and go and the Orioles season might get ramped up, but we can't wait to get back to the fall where September and the crisp air, and we're right back at M&T Bank Stadium, man. It's legitimate, man. It's legit.
All right, man. So this has been a pretty fun episode.
Yes, sir.
Getting ready for free agency. Did we miss anything?
Well, Sonata's still on the team, so let's go with not a chance, my friend.
All right, well,
we'll have to change it up, you know? We'll have to change it up.
I hope we don't have to change it, but
I hope not, man.
But we'll see how it all unfolds.
And if it unfolds before our eyes, we'll come up with a new tagline this year.
All right. Well, if you have an idea of who you want to see stick around or who you want the Ravens to pick up during free agency, it's real easy to get in contact with Josh or I. We are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people follow you?
They can always follow me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Remember, go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about this show, all the other podcasts we put out, the photos and videos as well. You can also go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash and Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast, and you will be the first to know whenever a new show comes out. As things start to go on in the off season, after free agency, after the draft, it's going to get a little bit more quiet, but we're going to be doing, you know, shows every once in a while, so make sure you go like our Facebook so you know whenever a new show comes out. And if you don't want to do that, all you have to do is subscribe on iTunes. Whenever a new show comes out, it will automatically download straight onto your iPhone or your iTunes on your computer. We're also available on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. So make sure there's plenty of ways to hear us whenever we're doing a show. Now, we do this show for free. Like you've seen on YouTube last week, we do it in a car sometimes. We're doing it through Skype this time. Any way that we can keep the cost level down, anything that we can do to still do a show, we're doing it all the time, and we are not asking you guys for money. All we are asking is for you to spread the word about the show. So be social on the web and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Let people know I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. Was that in the same order as it was last week?
I was trying to document it, I think it was.
Okay.
I always joke about that. You literally say it in a legit order every time. It's hilarious.
All right, well, here we go. Free agency is just in a couple days. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon, for another great show. Thank you all for listening. I know the offseason, oh, it's that grind. Oh, we can't wait till summer. But it's just heating up, and free agency is 5 days away. I was recording from the fifth day away from free agency. We can't wait to have it ramped up. But you know how passionate we are here at The Call. We know how Ravens Nation gets it going in the offseason. We can't wait to welcome any new Ravens. And again, if we have to say some hard goodbyes, you know, thank them for the times that we had. But we can't wait to get after it in 2015 Ravens season. The offseason is underway, so let's fly high this free agency, Ravens Nation.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.